Welcome to the Tech in Church podcast, brought to you by Text in Church. I'm Nina Hampton, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeanette Yates. If you are ready to make huge long-term impact in your ministry using technology the right way, then you are in the right place. In each episode, you'll hear from church and ministry leaders who will share their real-life experiences of how they use technology so that they can spend more time building relationships and doing the things that got them into ministry in the first place.
Today, we're talking about all things guest communications with Caleb Oliver, who uses Text in Church to help him connect with his community and church attendees before and after they come to the church for a big service or event. We'll break down how you can incorporate his strategies into your church communications, not just for those big Sundays like Easter, but any time of the year. Let's get started.
Caleb has developed some amazing strategies for his church over the last few years. He uses a combination of organic social media, Facebook ads, texting, and other more traditional methods of promotion to invite his people to church for services and events. He then hosts those people very well and then does an amazing job following up with them too.
That's right. They've had really great success in the past with hosting their community for a Christmas event, which we've talked to him about before. And he's been using those strategies. But when we talked recently about Easter, he said they were changing things up a bit this year. So let's take a listen.
This year, one of the things that we noticed, though, is that post-Easter, even 2019, 2021, even though we were offering six-week follow-ups with text and emails, even though we were doing some sort of hook to get people back, we would do like a meet the pastors or a lunch with the pastors event the week after Easter. Returns. And part of the reason is because obviously Easter, it's a big Sunday. People are going to be at church anyway, a lot of times, depending on what region of the country you're in. But also because it's a big event and we did our big events on Easter Sunday, people who were maybe loosely attending a church or weren't attending a church, they were coming to the big special event for their kids and their families, but we weren't really able to assimilate them. And so this year, what we've decided is that we're not going to do a big, fantastical Easter event on Easter Sunday. Instead, we're going to do a normal service. We'll have something special for the kids in the kids service, but we're not going to do something big before or after service. But what we are going to do is we're going to do a big, special, fun food truck event the Sunday after Easter. We're going to use Easter as a way to get people in the door, and then we're going to offer them the opportunity to come back.
Okay, so no Easter egg hunt or spring festival and no big Easter worship experience. They are flipping things around a bit here. So churches often use those community events pre-Easter to promote their Easter services. But what they found is that people were coming to those services anyway. So they turned their focus into getting people back after Easter.
Yeah, so this kind of blew my mind when he talked about this. Caleb and I were discussing this, and he did discuss how important it is to evaluate strategies and change them when they aren't helping you reach your goal. So for them, their goal was not just to get people to Easter. I mean, we all want that, but he wanted to go beyond that and get them connected and assimilated into their church community. Having the big event after Easter gives people a reason to come back. So his church is hosting a food truck event the Sunday after Easter. And because, you know, we love a digital connection card, if they text the keyword and fill out the connection card on Easter, Caleb's church is paying for their lunch.
We are going to talk about Caleb's Easter follow-up in a minute, but since he's not doing a big pre-Easter community event, let's hear his strategy for letting people know about the Easter Sunday service.
Sure. Well, let me first start off with how we're advertising our Easter service because we're not doing those big events. So we have Facebook ads that have started running for our community. I have a couple of people at our church that filmed a selfie style video. We also have Google ads that a third party company is managing for us. So we have some advertisements. We also have nice handouts. Our process for getting people in the door really comes thanks to Devin Galloway and his Engage talk back in February. He talked specifically about on-ramps. He talked about having less. So our process for assimilation is this funnel of this large opening for people to come in and slowly assimilating in.
Right.
What he talked about, which he didn't say it this way, but this is how I visualized it, is like an upside down funnel where you're giving them a little bit of information at a time.
Yes.
So they're not overloaded and they don't have an obstacle to taking their next step before even getting in the door.
Right.
And so he talked a lot about that. And so we actually applied that in our plan your visit cards. Mm-hmm. I don't know how bright. It's probably too bright to see, but it doesn't have a lot of words on it. It literally has just the information of the service, service time, direction, and then the QR code takes them to a plan your visit, text and church card with a video from our lead pastor talking about what our service is going to look like.
As Caleb mentioned, it was something from Engage Conference and Devin Galloway's session that made them go from a big catch-all event to a small on-ramp with specific roadways to enter their church community.
Caleb also mentioned that his new way of promoting Easter shares less information so as not to overload potential visitors. And this is really something that we see a lot with church communication. The temptation is to get as much information as possible because they think that that brings clarity, but actually too much information can lead to confusion in your community. And so using clear, specific information with just one call to action removes the obstacle of overload.
So if we think about this, the practical example would be when you print invites for your church service, whether that be Easter or maybe you're having a new sermon series and you want to send out those invite cards or maybe even give them to your members to invite a friend. The temptation is to print everything about the service or the series on the card. And I don't know if this has ever happened in a church where you've worked, but sometimes you might even want to add, say, another promo for the small group that's going to start after or something else because you're like, oh, well, we're paying to print this. Might as well print as much as we can possibly, you know, we also want them to know about the VBS and we also want them to know
all the things.
Yeah. Please do not do that. Use the card to draw attention to one specific service or event. Provide just the key information they need and why someone would want to attend, and then give them a call to action. Use a QR code and ask them to scan it to receive more information about the service. The goal of this card is to get people to take the next step, not all the steps, right?
Right.
And this step, it's the one step we want them to take is scan the QR code. After they do that, then your landing page or website should encourage them to take their next step.
Exactly. So in the interview with Caleb that you did, he held up a small card with the QR code on it and talked about how they are intentionally focusing the message on one thing, the Easter service, and how to find out more by scanning the QR code. So let's talk a little bit more about the QR code strategy that Caleb is using here. It's not just about having the QR code go to a landing page with all of the information. Using the text and church QR code will actually help you connect with your potential visitor in a more meaningful way.
That's a good point. So the QR code Caleb's church used sent people to a digital connection card that allowed them to share their contact information with the church. Then they used a series of pre-scheduled messages to text and email people to help them know more about what to expect on Easter Sunday and how to plan their visit. That's what makes this particular QR code strategy so helpful. You don't have to have all the information on the postcard, and you're not driving them to then a landing page that has all the information that's still going to be overwhelming.
Right.
You're just getting the information that you need to be able to communicate with them so that you can invite them to learn more and give them smaller chunks of information as their visit approaches. Again, this was about Easter, but really you can do this for any Sunday.
Yeah, that's really true, Danette. So the plan a visit feature and the system that Caleb talks about is really simple. And you can just send a follow-up email with the details about the visit and then schedule your text messages out to remind people to show up. And of course, if you want to make this easier on yourself, then you definitely need to head to our show notes and download the plan a visit blueprint. It's a completely free resource that walks you through all of the details of how Caleb's church and other churches help people plan their first visit to your church. It's amazing how they are turning website visitors into actual real first-time guests that come through the door.
Yes. And speaking of making things easier, the next thing Caleb talked about during the interview was their post-Easter follow-up process. His church is using a 6-week guest follow-up strategy the team at Texan Church developed along with the help of thousands of other churches who've shared what's been working for them right now. This was the framework that allowed them to actually plan out what would be happening for the next 6 Sundays at their church. Knowing this time of year is hectic for families as the school year winds down and the summer picks up, they wanted to focus the 6 Sundays on creating events like the food truck event he mentioned that would help newcomers get to know the church community and campus better. Check this out.
So here's our 6-week follow-up. Generally speaking, it'll be texts and emails. So April 24th, Sunday after Easter, big event, food trucks, all that stuff. May 1st, 2 weeks after Easter, is Meet the Pastors. Going to go through our vision and meet staff members, meet all of our staff. We have 6 staff members. And so again, this is the funnel for new people. May 8th, which is 3 weeks after Easter, is Mother's Day. We have another big event on Mother's Day. We will do some sort of special event. We usually do, we have a family photo booth. We have a professional photographer come in and do family photos. We usually do some fun things for the kids to give their moms. We do Mother's Day cards in the men's bathroom. That's like right as they walk in. Like, did you forget? Here's some Mother's Day cards.
Yes. There are people that are not all there at the end of the day. Some of it.
They get used a lot more often than I feel like they probably should get used, but it's awesome. And then we have a special gift for all the ladies in attendance. So we will do something special on Mother's Day. Again, a fun event to get people involved. And then we're going to try something brand new that we've never done. We're still literally writing this. So this is not completed yet. May 15th and May 22nd, we're going to do essentially a 101 first steps into assimilation class. Mm-hmm. We do our church calendar based on semesters. And so it's really hard to get people to assimilate this late in the spring season, because by mid-May, all of our groups are winding down. Almost all of our groups have less than 3 weeks before the summer. We could invite people to serve in the summer, but with so many people traveling and out of town, it's really hard to get that. So the only other assimilation process that we currently have is membership class. But we don't want a person who's been coming for 6 weeks to go, I want to become a member, even though they haven't actually served on a team. They haven't actually attended a group. They don't really know anybody yet, we assume. Right. So we're trying something new. We're kind of break out our membership class into a 101, 201, 301 type, which I know a lot of churches do. So that's our process. Is again, it's a 6-week follow-up. We've done 6-week follow-ups in the past. We just haven't done intentional week every Sunday, have something for people.
Right.
So our big goal from April 1st till June 1st is we want 100 people to text new on Easter Sunday, which we feel like we can do. And then by May 29th, 10%, so 10 people will have gone through this class, which is pretty good. Yeah. If you understand assimilation statistics in the church, if 10% within 5 weeks of our church have come to an event like that, they're in.
That was really good. I love how he specifically said that they are stepping up their follow-up game. And because we work with thousands of churches, we know that 6 weeks of follow-up is going to be more effective than just 1 or 2 weeks. This is especially true when you are trying to connect with people who aren't in the habit of going to church. You know what I mean? I haven't missed a Sunday and I can't tell you how long.
Right.
You know, but these people are not in the habit of coming to church. So I love how Caleb's church is going even beyond that step and customizing our 6-week follow-up message templates and intentionally inviting people to return every week for a unique experience that walks them through connecting with the church community, the pastors, and finally, and most importantly, a connection with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That is what it's all about. The reason for using an automated 6-week follow-up process and text messaging service like Text in Church is not just to schedule some messages and call it a day. Yes, you can and should automate the messages,
right,
but you can't automate the community building.
Literally.
And that is where being intentional about what your messages say and how you are communicating them comes in. To learn more about how to create a follow-up process that helps you spend less time managing tools and more time building those relationships, head to the show notes. That's right. Nina's not the only one giving away freebies today. She thought she was going to be the star of this one, but no, I'm coming in here. I'm putting in a resource for you to download called the Ultimate Guest Follow-Up Plan. You can download it for free and her freebie to the Plan a Visit Blueprint. You can do that by heading to podcast.textandchurch.com.
Yeah, look at you doubling up on freebies today, Jeanette.
I like surprises. I'm trying my best to have a little fun here with our peeps today. But after Caleb shared how critical it was for his team to have a guest follow-up framework to build on, tweak, and make their own, I could not hold back. I wanted to make sure that everybody had that in their hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we sign off here, I'd like to revisit another key point that Caleb made when it comes to promoting your events or your services. And it was about keeping your message simple and clear. People don't need to know everything about an event when you first introduce it. You just need to provide the key information that they need to know to take action on what you are asking them to take, which in Caleb's case is asking people to scan the QR code on the invite card. That's it.
Yep, exactly. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You only ask them to take one step or make one decision at a time. And this should be the case for your invite cards, the landing page on your website, or even a Facebook ad. Think about what is the one step you need people to take at each step of the registration process and encourage them to do just that.
All right, friends, it's time to take action. Go to our show notes at podcast.textandchurch.com to download the two free resources that we told you about, the Plan of Visit Blueprint and the Ultimate Guest Follow-Up Plan.
We want to break down any barriers for you to get the best training and resources to move your ministry forward, and these are two of our best resources. They will help you turn more website visitors into actual attendees and then follow up with all of your guests in a simple, meaningful way, making them feel known, noticed, and loved.
All right, that's it for this week's episode of the Tech in Church podcast. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcasting app to know when episodes are available.
I'm Jeanette.
And I'm Nina, and we'll talk more tech next time.
The Tech in Church podcast is a production of the Text in Church team. To get the show notes for this week's episode and to download the resources mentioned, go to textandchurch.com/podcast. For information on Text in Church, visit textandchurch.com.